Welcome to Sentence to Paragraph, a podcast on the space between WordCraft and the writer's life. My name is James Stiegel, and I'm joined today by my friends Darylyn Evans.
Hello.
Hello, and Molly K. Martin.
Hi there.
Hey. Today, the question we have is, how do you restart the streak? Because a couple weeks ago, well, I guess a little more than that, we talked about plans and intentions, I think, for 2019. And at least for me, at least, I've been struggling this last week. So I wanted to hear how everybody else might be doing with their goals and things for the year. And I'll try and keep my voice upbeat, because when I think about not doing as well, I find myself being sad. So
we want happy James.
I know. Before we do that, let's do some updates. How's everybody doing?
Molly and I both have colds, so we'll sound like Maud today. This is Darylyn, in case you can't tell the difference. And we'll probably hack through it. I'll start, since I'm going. So I have a cold this week, but it has not stopped the writing so far. But my writing has been a little bit limited. I am getting writing done, but it's just been a little tiny bit at the end of the day, which feels very frustrating. However, I did get to spend last weekend. Eric Witchie had the Fiction Fluency workshop this month was on ideas and it wasn't really how to find them, but it was what do you do with an idea and how to shape it. So it was a great workshop. I am feeling very idea-rific this week. So can't wait to feel a little better and do a little bit more writing. That's my week.
Idea-rific.
That sounds like a good week. I want you to condense all of Eric Witchie's wonderful class into about, like a 3 to 5 minute sound segment and tell us what to do with an idea. So then we'll know. Yeah. So this is Molly, probably sounding remarkably similar to Darylyn, because I too have a cold. And this past week, I have been struggling with having a cold and maintaining motivation and when you just want to sleep. So like James, I have fallen off the streak. I was doing good until the last couple of days, but then there was one day that I just got into bed and went to bed and missed my day. And then that was the thing. Like, you miss one day and then the rest of them, you're like, oh, I'm done.
Yeah. And that's, Well, what has been, like, what have you accomplished this week, though? Have there been other things maybe that just like pushed up the writing, but were still accomplishments? Or,
well, so writing related, so I can not feel totally bad about what I've done this weekend or this week, is I finished developmental edits for one of the projects that I was working on, and I'm almost done with the other one. The writer still has to send me the last chapter of their book, but I'm done with pretty much all of the rest of them. So unless something really crazy happens in the last chapter, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Woohoo!
That's great news.
For you and for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For my week, I guess I have to remember that I did. So I kind of like where my writing streak on the novel got a little misdirected, was I had the opportunity to submit to a an anthology that I wanted to be in. And I had been trying to rewrite a short story that I finally realized like wasn't going to work around maybe it was Thursday, I guess. And the story was due on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And and I had another idea that this was like a near future science fiction anthology and it needed to be within 50 years. And like the story I was struggling with was probably 200 years in the future. And so I had an idea, and I like, this is where I realized like when I have an idea and it's working, like I can just spit that out, quickly. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I wrote the story, finished it, got everything, done for Sunday, and like felt like, yeah, I'd accomplished something, but then like it completely derailed my forward progress on the novel. And so for like the past 3 days, like there've been a couple things, like the baby just is not sleeping, which is making it really difficult to get writing time at night. And so that's what I'm trying, like even yesterday I opened up the Word document and was like reading and was still feeling like not like that next sentence just wasn't coming to me. So I'm trying to get back there, but also trying to remind myself that no, you did actually finish your short story, which is something you haven't done in a long time. And I felt pretty good about the story. So
hooray.
Yeah. Yay.
That is exciting.
Yeah.
And even
yeah.
if it's, even if it's not working for that anthology, there will be, you know, plenty of others and that might be perfect mm-hmm. for a different one.
Yeah. And the cool thing is like, it's already kind of opened the door because the guy that was doing this anthology is working on a shared world thing that's kind of like Judge Dredd, which mm-hmm. I was kind of excited about writing something for that. And he already asked me if I wanted to be in the launch sequence of stories in that universe. So that's exciting. That's kind of what I was hoping would happen if I wrote that short story, if I managed yeah. to get it done. So that's working out. But yeah, this week has just been like work has been really strict. Like it just continues to be. We have a lot of turmoil at work right now, and it's making it hard to focus on like to have the stability with other things in my life. So I don't know. That's what has been this last week. And it's kind of been really on my mind is like, even today, I'm hoping like I have to get the momentum started again to get something, you know, something done.
Mm. Yeah. So is it more of a matter of like, you feel like you kind of have to forgive yourself for not getting this stuff done and then move past that? Or you're like, okay, the past is behind me, but now I just need to get some motivation to get started again without the momentum.
I think that's often how I feel when it comes to anything, like just start over again, just start anew, you know?
Yeah.
But again, like doing things in a way where I'm creating time to write and yeah, not beating myself up about it or trying not to. And also remembering that, okay, it's only been, you know, today's Friday. It's only been a week and there are plenty of folks that if they write a story in a month would feel really good about that. And so I need to remind myself that, you know, not to like, I guess, lower the bar for myself, but also just remember that the writing that I've been doing is like, that's a lot of work. So I need to remember that's good. and focus forward.
And also think of it like, you know, okay, you were doing something else for a while and now you're going back to your novel, right? Mm-hmm. So you'll have a little bit of a break from it, so you have more of a fresh perspective when you're looking at it, and you were neck deep in it before and now you can take a step back and go, is that really where I wanted to go with it? Or oh hey, you know, I had this problem before that I couldn't figure out, but here's a really simple solution that I just wasn't seeing before. So
I think that might be part of it too, is I'm in the place where I'm kind of filling out some side plots and things, and I hit a wall with what I wanted to happen. And that seems to happen a lot too. So, you know, I've been thinking about it, but also realizing that by focusing on this other story, I kind of took my mind out of that process. So
I've heard this writing advice several different times from different writers, so I can't really attribute to anyone in particular. But they said, you know, like stop at a place where you know what happens next. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason that I hear it so often is because it's really easy not to do that, but it's such good advice if you can, because I tend to stop when I get stuck. Like I'm writing, like this is all awesome, this is amazing, you know, inspiration and coffee are flowing and, you know, you're just writing in a fury and then you get stuck and you're like, okay, well now I'm going to take a break, go do something else and try to get unstuck, which maybe works, but maybe also then you come back and you look at it and you're like, I still don't have the solution. So then it's easier to just keep walking away and not working on it.
No, I think that's totally it.
I think this is where Eric Witchie would say, write 50 next sentences or a list of what are 10 things or 50 things that would be the next thing or two steps down just to get your brain to trip into working. Although there's value, I mean, you hear that all the time and we had talked about that even at Eric Witchie's thing, like sometimes you need to tell your subconscious to work on it and go do, you know, sweep or do something innocuous so that it doesn't totally throw you out of the flow. But also sometimes that, you know, you need to give your subconscious a nudge and just making a list and being, that's one of the things that we talked about this last time on thinking about ideas, is be super ridiculous. Like, don't just write, well, the three obvious things would happen is he crosses the room and opens the door, or he, you know, goes to the fridge and cracks a beer, or, you know, or he just watches more telly. That, like, get really ridiculous, like, you know, a random pizza delivery shows up, or a, you know, an assassin plunges into the through the window, or whatever, and like just get crazy, because sometimes that A will be super interesting, or B, it will just like trip you into what can be possible, and it'll get you the creative end side of your brain going. Mm-hmm. So, which I know sounds really awesome in theory, and I always struggle with that next step part when I get really stuck, because it's like, oh, it's all terrible, and I'm never ever going to write again. And what am I doing? And yeah, I get super fatalistic really quickly. But
it's funny how that is.
It's true though that this, yeah, like just pick up the pen and do something. Is often helpful, or skip ahead and then maybe you can engineer your way back. I've had to do that a few times, which has been helpful to say, you know, like I had this one in the last novel, this, like, I just did not know. I knew these people needed to have a fight, but I had no idea what it was about. And I just had to skip ahead and just say they have a fight and come back. And then about three chapters later, I finally was like, oh, I get what they're having to fight about. And it was awesome, because what mm-hmm. I thought they were having to fight about was, you know, pretty small. And then it just turned out to be this huge thing that kind of solved a bunch of stuff in the story and made it way deeper. So I don't know. I'll just throw that out for you. So I don't know. Sometimes you have to trick yourself, and then sometimes you have to go watch, like, I don't know, the Fantastic Four about 80 times until it comes to you.
Exactly. No, really, I'm doing work. I am. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I've had that a few times where I just get so stuck and I have zero creativity and I just feel like I can't even access that. And so sometimes it's go out and have a few writer dates with yourself or creative dates and fill that well. But I feel like I'm far afield because sometimes it's just that frustration for the week. You just, it's just sit down and write the list of 50 things and then just get back at it.
Well, I think too, you know, because we're writers, like there's sort of the natural deep introspection that comes along with being a writer is you tend to overanalyze like everything because you're a writer. And so you're like, oh, you know, I've got to think about and mull over this and just chew it over and over and over and over in my brain. And so when we do something that doesn't live up to our expectations, then we kind of get into this spiral of like, oh, I'll never write again. And here's the 10 million reasons why I'll never write again. And we're really good at coming up with all of these really creative reasons why we're never going to write again because we're writers. Mm. And so then it becomes a sort of self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm. We've told ourselves, our subconscious, to solve the wrong problem when that happens, I think. It's like, yeah. To be really conscious about telling it, solve this problem.
I like the idea that 50 next lines, just because that's sort of just a hack of something you can do that isn't necessarily depending on your creativity. Just creating action, or I don't, like an action is in like just doing something to get things started. Because yeah, that feeling like your creativity is worn out is hard. And that, getting stuck, cause I get stuck in loops sometimes too. Like Molly, you were just saying about the negative thoughts about it, and you know, overthinking it and things like that. And so I think having an action tied to moving forward could be really helpful.
I think also recognizing though that, oh, I'm in that loop of I'm overthinking this. I'm, you know, in my fatalistic mode. At least that's what mine is. And then saying, oh, okay, I'm in this mode and I've been here before, mm-hmm. and it has ended. So sometimes just acknowledging it and where you're at, taking all of those good things I learned from therapy, it is helpful. Because then it's like, oh, okay, this is where I'm at. I had that. I was telling James before we got started, Molly, that while my writing streak is still going, I had a few other pieces of my goals for this year streaks that fell apart this week. And there were 3 days where I did not, I've been writing my goals every day to kind of stay focused on them. And I like didn't even pick the notebook up and didn't think about it. And in the past I would be just going, oh, it's all over and ruined. But I just like, okay, well, I missed those 3 days. So that tells me I need to refocus on my time, or I do recognize this. Like I made some new goals to focus my time, but I still am I can get it all done. And I'm not, you know, what that made me do is recognize I'm not giving myself enough space, either enough space to do the things, or it's still too much. I think that's the other part of it is we're still trying to perform 100% on all of the things. James, you're doing that with a baby and a job and a family and all, you know, and maybe you have friends in there. I don't know. Mm-hmm. and occasionally you just want to spend a day and binge watch The Magician season 3. So, you know, and do all the things. So,
right. Yeah. And that's something I've been thinking about a lot. Like focus on what you have, not what you don't have. And I think when you're missing your goals, it's really easy to get focused on the things that you perceive that you don't have. And at least for me being an introvert, I have to remind myself of those, like the things that I think of as not having always outweigh mentally the things that I do have, you know, and it's important to, and that's even like writing those things down. Like I love the idea of like tying an action to that mental loop to kind of bring yourself out of it. And you look at, because you can look at physically the list or the act of writing the list and realize like, oh yeah, that's actually, things are good.
I like it too, because I think, we were talking kind of about like the intentionally establishing good habits, and that's, it's breaking a bad habit, because you have all the sort of things about a habit of like, you have this triggering event, which is, you know, I failed to do whatever, or I wasn't able to do whatever that I wanted. I didn't do my goal. And then you have this behavior, which is, you know, I go into this negative spiral of, you know, hopelessness, like I will never write again, and lack of motivation and lack of inspiration and all of that kind of thing. And so then the action that you do with this triggering event is you don't write. And so like that's actually an action, not writing, because normally you would be writing, but you've just kind of like talked yourself out of it. And so you're taking your triggering event and you're changing what the action is, and then you can give yourself a reward. So you need to think of like, what's my reward going to be? And your reward might just be like the satisfaction of, now I have a list with 10 items on it, and I can look at my physical list and say, aha, you know, look at that brain. I did do something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. Finding that. And that's the thing, like last week, like having a streak, I mean, for like a month and a half, like felt just awesome. Yeah. I don't know. I will get there. In fact, today I'm even like, I'm feeling like I have the day off from work. So I'm excited to get some writing done. And at least, even if it's just like the littlest bit, because that's one thing too, like I've been getting some great word counts in each day, and then feeling like if I don't get that. But I would say that like being able to share word counts with everyone helps me be realistic about it and not beat myself up about like, it's perfectly okay to get a 200 word day because you got something, right? You got to get that out.
Yeah.
And I'm not alone in that. So that is really helpful. I tend, you know, some of the Facebook groups and whatnot where people share these crazy word counts, I think that you also don't see the days where the people aren't getting those word counts. You know, it's that curated, look how awesome I am kind of thing. And that can be a little bit demoralizing.
Yeah, I heard somebody was describing social media in general, and you know, it's always like this, is that you see everybody at their best day in their best moment. And then you feel like everybody only sees you during the blooper reels of your life. So,
so true.
Yeah. So
that's funny.
I think too, that, what seems like, I mean, we hear all the time people's writing routines and, oh, I get up every morning at 4 and write for 6 hours and blah, blah, blah. And I'm really militant about it. And I always accomplish all of these things. And I think that, you know, that might be true right now that that's somebody's routine, but those break because life just can't, you know, our mm-hmm. busy lives can't sustain that, or those people have zero friends or family to right. interrupt them. And we've all made different choices in life. So some of it is to recognize that we, you know, there are going to be moments where whatever it, this is working right now, this particular routine, but there is going to be something that comes along and disrupts it. And it's not realistic to say, oh, if I could only get my perfect writing routine. And I've spent years going, oh, if I could only, you know, just get up at the right time and write for 3 hours and then have my day, you know, and do the workout and do all the things like that. That's not realistic. My life is different every single day. So recognizing like, oh, okay, well, at least for these few months, this was my routine. But now I have to say this other thing has come up and now how do I remake that? Which feels frustrating, but recognizing that a lot sooner is also a thing. Or to say, you know, like, well, James, in this case, if, you know, your season may be a little bit different because the baby's not sleeping. So that's going to require a few different moves. And then maybe you can get back to the routine when she's sleeping again. So
when she's about, you know, 19 and has moved out.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, but then it'll be something else disrupting you. Like, this week for me, my sister decided to go on vacation and they just got chickens and she needed somebody to come down and take care of her damn chickens. So I blame my disruption on the chickens. You never know when they're going to be disrupted.
You know, this is one of those, I just have to comment though. This is one of those things that only in Eugene would it be just like a normal kind of thing for somebody to say, oh yeah, my friend or relative got chickens. Because like most other parts of the country... Just saying like, oh yeah, somebody got chickens is kind of like, what? But it's insane. Like, oh, yeah, they have chickens. Of course they have chickens. Why would they not?
Of course.
I love Eugene.
I want to acknowledge that line, what you just said about my life is different every single day. And I think that makes a really interesting life. That there's like, consistency is fine, but it's also kind of boring. But how do we fit like the systems that we talked about previously with the realities of life, I think is just a really interesting challenge that's ongoing. And you're probably spoiling those chickens because you can just throw some feed down and leave them for a couple of days and they'll be fine. my chickens aren't laying right now, which means I don't have to go out and check them all the time. So I've got like, I have a hanging feeder thing. I fill that up and it's good for like 4 days.
Oh, you know, wow. I play Stardew Valley, so I feel like I'm an expert on chickens and you do need to feed them every day. So that's just as a computer player who has computer chickens, I would say.
You got to play games with the chickens. Like you can't feed them in the morning, feed them at night, bugs all day.
Aww.
Chickens are too smart for their own good.
And yet they're too stupid because they kept pooping in their food thing and their water thing. Ugh.
Oh, yeah. That's yeah.
Chickens are gross, but they're so pretty, so thank goodness.
You know what I have realized, like just in having this conversation, is sort of breaking my streak now is kind of I've allowed myself to set a new goal because then I can say, you know, last time I had a streak that went for, you know, let's just, I'm not looking at it, but let's just say like 21 days in a row or, you know, a month and a half or something like that. And so the next time I can say, you know, well, if I can maintain the streak for 2 months, then it's still progress. So I have very cleverly set the bar a little bit low so that next time I can make some incremental progress.
It's a good way to think about it. Oh, better break it now before it's too high.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm glad we're having this conversation because I was thinking about that because it's like, oh, every single day when I'm only getting like 15 minutes at 1 a.m., which has happened many times in the last 2 weeks, I've been going, oh man, this is the day I'm going to break the streak and I'm not going to have anything to write about, or I'm just not going to get there. And so I'm feeling good that I should just go ahead and break it. So I don't, I think that's no. It. It's like we're making this big thing in our heads, and like, this is just a streak. The overall thing is that, what, you've written how much of your novel already this year? So it's funny James is talking about this, because I was looking at his numbers the other day going, damn, he was just writing so much. Like, you had an over 4,000 word day, two different days in a week.
Yeah. Short story.
Yeah, which was just amazing. And I think my best day ever was maybe one time in my life, 4,000 words. And so, like, I'm getting, like, you know, I did have my 200 word day. I had 36 words last night, but... there was a little bit more, but so really you're just doing amazing. I guess compared, you know, so we just have to acknowledge that like not
I just
throw away
take
all.
Off the last number on James's number, and then I'm like, oh, James only did 152 words today. Okay, I can do that.
There you go. I will forget the 4,000 that came before that.
Yeah, no, it was 400 and some. That's what happened. And 400 and some, that's a reasonable thing that you could do.
I think that's good.
Yeah, actually, when I was rewriting that story, it was funny because I was real, like, I knew exactly what, because I'd gone through and, like, basically deleted everything to try and get, because I had to get the word count down. And then I was going through and rewriting it. And it was actually a really interesting exercise in kind of a deep outlining sort of way, because since I'd already written that story and I knew what was happening, now I'd reduced it just to beats of what was going to happen. So that story just came, you know, fast. So it basically almost felt like a rewriting exercise. But then with the newer one that I was working on, like, I had a really strong idea where I wanted that one to go too. And so it was just very easy to get, you know, like, focusing instead of word counts, I was thinking about just scenes, you know, and I just want to get to this scene. I want this to happen. And it made the writing come really, really quickly. Yeah. Until I finished the story and stopped.
When you sit down to write, do you, even you, Molly, as a pantser more, do you write like a little outline of at least the next scene, or here's what I think's going to happen line or two, just to, before you start, just so it's not the blank page? Or do you just sit and wait for the muse? Does she come and bless you and whisper in your ear?
Should I tell you what really happens, or what I'd like to have happen?
See, this is exactly what we all face when we're hearing everybody else's stories.
Because what Molly, the exalted writer, does is I sit down with my tea perfectly situated next to the computer, just steaming at the exact right temperature with perfect sized dollop of honey in it. And the muse comes to me, gently whispers in my ear, and the words just flow magically onto the page. But I've heard that other writers who are similar to me in many regards will sit down and stare at the blank page and then read a little bit of what they wrote last time and then get distracted and then think, you know, I should probably check my email because there might be something important from a friend. And then because I have the email open, well, you know, maybe I should just pop over to Facebook real quick and check my writers groups because that's still writing related. And oh my goodness, somebody posted this really interesting article on writing, and then I should chase that down the writing rabbit hole because it's still writing related because it's an article about writing. So that's what can happen to other writers who aren't me, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Now I do, I'll usually, like, so when I outline the whole book or each scene, I'll do in brackets, like the summary for that section, and then I'll write it, and then I don't delete that until I've finished it. And then I go back and look at kind of what I wanted to have happen and see if that's the way the plot is moving like it's supposed to. And so I might move something that needed to happen down to another chapter, but then I'll delete it. And that's how I know that I finished that piece of it. But then during the editing, I can go back through and just search for the brackets. And so I don't leave anything in, but I can also go back and check everything to see, like, oh yeah, I got all those things, you know, so that the beats are flowing the way I wanted them to. Mm-hmm. So when I'm being really annoyed about word counts, that's when it's kind of like, I delete that and it's like, oh, it dropped by 300 words. Oh, gotta fix, gotta get that back up. I'm in a word deficit.
Which kind of is a good way to trick yourself to getting the 300 extra words, but.
Good words. I am finding that when I, even if I, because I'm kind of in between pantsing and plotting, I usually have kind of the overall structure, but when I sit down to an actual scene, or lately I've been doing stories off of prompts, and so when I have the prompt, I'll do a little, before I'm writing the actual words, I'll do a little, write two or three things of what I think will happen, or at least what the first scene might be. And I find that really helps me. It kind of primes the pump a little so that the first words don't have to be like the great, magnificent stuff. Because if my muse is kind of a bitch and she doesn't show up very timely often until after I'm writing. And so I find that that really helps prime the pump a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I just was kind of hearing that in what you were saying about your story, James, is like, it was kind of primed because you knew what was going to happen. So,
yeah.
And I think that really does help be able to write really quickly when you have that little, even for just a scene, have a little bit of structure. Mm-hmm.
I will say that on the days that I've noticed I'm most productive are days when, like, Darylyn, you were talking about how if you're stuck, you skip ahead and just write, like, you skipped a fight and you wrote what happened and then came back to it. And I found that on days when I'm most productive is on days when I have skipped a scene and moved ahead, and then I'm filling in something that, like, I already know, like, here's the two connecting pieces, and I just have to write the connecting scene. So whether I like it or not, I think I actually am much more productive if something is plotted out. I just am very, very resistant to that idea.
We're reading Story Genius right now by Lisa Crone for our writing group.
James,
if you want to start reading, it's dinners on the last week of March. But anyway, I think you would really like this because it kind of marries that idea of being a pantser, but really working a little bit with structure and writing through it. As you can still be a total pantser through it. So I think you would really like that. One of my folks I work with is going through it and writing her novel that way because she's also not a plotter and she's really finding it useful. So just to throw that out.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other notes about, like, okay, so what is the, if we transition into our intentions for the next week, like, what are you going to do to get your streak started again?
How do you get your streak on? I think I am going to start doing the things that help me get into my writing mode, which is the main thing that I have to do is I use my little, I have a program, I think I've mentioned it before. For me, I have a Mac computer. So the one that I use is called Self Control. And it has a little picture of a skull. And I set up a blacklist of, here's all the sites that I'm not allowed to go on. And it includes like social media sites, pretty much just social media sites, some gaming sites. Like if there's streaming sites that I game through, like Steam or something like that. And I turn that on and I can set an amount of time. And then no matter what I do, even if I restart my computer, it still has created a firewall in my computer that I can't access those sites. So what I just need to do is when I sit down to write, I need to engage it every single time. And a couple of days when I'm feeling particularly masochistic, I can set it for 24 hours. So if I'm having a good day of writing, I set it for 24 hours. And then the next day I can't check Facebook. Like, even when I'm not writing, which is super good for my productivity.
Do you hide your phone as well?
I don't, because I'm actually really good about ignoring my phone, and I don't have Facebook on my phone or anything like that. So my phone is not as problematic for me. Because most of the time, as an introvert, I just ignore my phone anyways. So.
Yeah, see, I have a couple plugins that do the same thing on my computer, which I think is an awesome tool. But then my phone is just, I have to like, put it, and I've got all the notifications turned off anyways, but I have to not look at, you know, Facebook and that crap. So
yeah,
I've been doing airplane mode on my phone so that people don't call me, and also so that I can't get online. So but I don't write and look online at all. If I need something, I just put a big X there and we'll come back to it. So I try not to let research interrupt the flow. Mm-hmm. Because I will immediately be down that rabbit hole. So, but I feel like I have to take a social media fast this week, because I, like last week, it was a little rough, and I really went down that rabbit hole a lot, and it was becoming my default habit. Is as soon as I'm anything, I'm picking up my, I realized how much I was spending on Facebook. So, like just picking up my phone immediately. So I'm going on a Facebook fast this week. Mm-hmm. Right after this episode. After we check it, after this episode is what I mean.
So next week we should really do like a social media check-in instead of a writing check-in. Be like, how much do you resist the call of social media?
Yeah. Well, I have I have the Harvest Time thing on app on my phone, and I've been using it to check, or to just say like, how am I using my day? Like, you know, what's work and what's editing projects for other people and what's writing time and blah, blah. And I was trying to keep my, and I just call it time suck. And I have to like go to a special place to do it, to like put it, to choose that as an option, to be aware of how much I'm spending on it. And, mm-hmm. and that still hasn't deterred me at all, but I, you know, like I wasn't like 7 hours a week, and like last week was like 16 hours. It was terrible. I was like struggling with something. So Facebook fast.
Yeah.
I need to see if Android has that option, 'cause I'm really intrigued by that in it's iPhone, right? That lets you see like how much time you've been spending on each.
Oh,
each
well, thing. It's an app you can download, I'm sure, for iPhone as well. Oh, but okay. I actually have an Android, so.
Everybody's been talking about that feature in iOS. I thought that's what you were.
Oh, no. To. Well, there might be one in iOS. I don't know anything about iPhones, honestly. But it's an actual app you download. It's Harvest Time Tracker. And it's fabulous. And I went in and just set up a bunch of different categories. So that I could just really get a sense of it. And I had done this a couple weeks before I did my goals for the year, so that I could really have a sense of how I'm spending my time and really qualify all the different places. But also, you know, one of the things like, you know, things that I was struggling, like quality time with the family and stuff. And so to kind of, you know, really pay attention to all of those things. I'm sorry, I got lost on that.
Oh no, it actually sounds like a really good resource.
Yeah.
People to have, and yours is called Harvest Time. Harvest Time Tracker. I have a time tracker also, that I think it's called like Rescue Time or something like that. But it's a similar thing that you can set up like different categories, and then it will tell you, you know, like 80% of your online time was spent on these websites. And so then you can give yourself a cookie or dress yourself down or whatever you need to do.
Give yourself emotional support and a different idea of how to spend your time.
Yeah.
Look at it and go, okay, something went wrong this week.
So I guess my next steps are, I'm just going to, like, even if it's only 200 words today, I'm going to write something and feel better about that. But I am going to try the, just listing out 5 things in the scene that I'm stuck on that could happen next and see where it goes.
50.
Okay.
Whichever one trips you could up to 50.
But we're actually, I didn't mention, we're going to WizardCon tomorrow.
What?
Yeah. So we're going to take a little trip. So we'll see. That's going to affect, you know, the writing time, but it should be fun. I've never been to a convention before like that, you know, whatever. It's a, I don't know. Buffy the Vampire Slayer is going to be a big part of it. So
what? Where are you? Where is it?
It's in Portland at the convention center.
Oh, fun!
Yeah, so it should be fun. Yeah, so that's going to take up, like, we're doing WizardCon on Saturday and then IKEA on Sunday and then coming back. So,
IKEA.
Yeah, that's what we do in Oregon. Like, we have to drive to our one IKEA. So,
well, in North Carolina. Exciting. There's one, I think there's only one, and it's in Charlotte, which is like 2.5 hours away from us.
And it's the
I
same think, kind of deal.
Yeah. It's like an event. And my daughter, who's just turned 4, she still remembers, like, it was so impactful for her when we went. Like, now every time we go past a Best Buy, because they have similar kind of like, it's blue and yellow and it's a similar shaped building. Like, every time we drive past Best Buy, she's like, can we go to IKEA again? So apparently the Swedish meatballs were something that, like, she's really into.
They're addictive meatballs. They know what they're doing.
They are an experience.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well, any other intentions for next week that anybody wanted to mention?
I think I have to break my writing streak so that I can start over. So I'm going to take the day off. No, I'm just kidding. I'm feeling better about when it does break. What's that, Molly?
You're the gold standard. The rest of us are trying to measure up to.
I know.
Oh, man, that is a very low gold standard, I think. All right.
Cool. Well, thanks for taking the time to talk.
Are we going to have an editing tip?
Oh, we are going to have an editing tip. Yes. Editing.
Molly. So this isn't necessarily an editing tip per se, but it's something that I've been working on in developmental edits, which is chapter names. And so I'll talk about that real quick because it's kind of tangentially related to editing. And chapter names are really fun for me because it's, to me, it like sets the tone for the rest of the chapter, and then trying to find one that is not a spoiler, but is also clever. And the main thing that I've noticed with chapter names is don't use words that are more than three syllables. Like, two syllables is plenty in chapter names. I know that seems funny. Or if it's a three-syllable word, that better be the only word in the chapter name. And so I've been doing chapter names for other writers. And what I found is that it is much easier for somebody else to do your chapter names for you. It's not as easy for you as the writer to do good chapter names. So I don't know if that's an editing tip. It's kind of lame, but that's what I got.
something to think about.
Yeah. If you want a really great example of fun chapter names that do both, like, that are just hilarious and engaging in themselves to make you want to read the chapter, but also do that good job of encapsulating what the chapter is without totally revealing what is in there. Serena Dory in her Wambi School for Witchcraft and Wizardry, is that right? That series is hilarious just for the chapter titles. She does such a good job with that. So I'll throw that out.
Okay.
Good example.
Yeah. She does. I was just thinking through that. Cool. Okay. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk. And we'll see you next week.
Have a great week.
Right. Okay. Yep. All right. Later.
Happy writing, everybody. Bye-bye.